Presentations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and perhaps even join in the conversation here a little bit with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our switchboard is open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free call, 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you tonight. Let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Now, Lord, just ask that you would bless our program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. And Father, we just pray that you would just help us, Lord, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the things happening in the world around us. We think of the things happening in our own country here in recent days. And it's easy to be discouraged, but Lord, help us to look up because our redemption draweth nigh. And so, Father, just help us to lift up the Savior through everything we do tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's kind of hard to jump in here tonight. So many things to talk about Friday on our Friday afternoon program. I spent the whole program addressing the issue of the recent Supreme Court rulings on regarding marriage, same-sex marriage or same-sex unions, the Defense of Marriage Act, the things of that nature. And I use that actually to spend the time not so much talking about the actual rulings themselves, but more to talk about the biblical basis for a marriage. And I'm not going to go through all of that again here this evening, but just to get you kind of caught up in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells us very clearly what a marriage pictures. And if you take the time to study that, I'll not read through it all right there, but in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the relationship between the wife and the husband and inside of the marriage. And the passage starts out, actually, it doesn't start out in verse 22 where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." It actually starts out with a sentence that begins in verse 18, which says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And this is important because any successful marriage, the Spirit of God has got to be there. God's got to be the basis of your marriage. And husband and wife should be filled with the Spirit of God. And then the sentence continues, "Speaking to yourselves," in verse 19, "in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And this is a picture of a happy marriage here, and filled with the Spirit, and celebrating God and His love, you know, the husband and wife here. And the sentence still continues on in verse number 20, "giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, a sentence doesn't end there yet. And let me just interject something here. One of the reasons, and there's many reasons why I use the King James Version exclusively, not the least of which being I speak English, and I'm speaking to a predominantly English-speaking audience, but the King James, contrary to the more modern versions, preserves these long sentence structures. And people say, "Oh, they're too confusing, too difficult." No, these long sentence structures are there for a reason. And that's showing us that all these things that are addressed in the course of this long sentence are there interrelated into one integral thought. And, you know, today we have the emphasis on short, pithy sentences. And so we don't like these long sentences today. But this long sentence started in verse 18, continued down through 19, 20, 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it concludes in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And you can see that long sentence in leading into a discussion of husbands and wives. It starts with being filled with the Spirit, and it ends with being in submission one to another within the marriage. Now, this is where people get off base, because they single out verse 21. They start there, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And problem with that is husbands are supposed to be submissive to their wives. You know, we don't like to hear that all the time, but it's true, because submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we talked about this at length, and this is an area where wives are attacked in the marriage relationship more than husbands by the devil, who tries to destroy marriages. And so wives have to be reminded to be submissive to their husbands. And if that only meant wives submitting to their husbands and husbands not having to bother submitting to their wives, then down where it tells the husbands in verse 25 to love their wives, then I guess wives don't have to love their husbands, if you follow that logic. But no, it's because the devil attacks the husband in a relationship, taking his wife for granted so that he stops loving her. And so these are two areas where the relationship of the marriage is attacked. But now here's the key again. The relationship of the husband and wife in a marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Verse 33 or 32 very clearly says, this is a great mystery, talking about marriage, talking about the relationship between a husband and wife. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the truth. When he says it's a great mystery, he's talking about, here's a hidden truth here that I want you to see. God is speaking through Paul, telling us that he wants us to see that the relationship between the husband and wife is a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. And that's why wives are reminded to submit to their own husbands, because the devil attacks that way, because a church that's not in submission to the Lord is a church that goes off the track and goes into the wrong sort of things. A church is not supposed to tell the Lord what to do. The Lord is supposed to tell church what to do. And a lot of churches have stopped submitting to the Lord, and they do what they want to do, and they don't care what God wants to do. And so that's an area where the devil attacks, and he attacks that picture of Christ in the church. And then by getting husbands to stop loving your wives, this passage says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And it goes on to talk about how Jesus gave himself to sanctify and cleanse and all that, and reminding us that we need to love our wives. Because, see, when the devil gets men to take their wives for granted and stop loving them, then, again, that's an attack on the picture of Christ loving the church. Now, we talked about that at length last Friday, and if you missed the program or if you want to hear it again, if you go onto our website, live.maplenoel.us, that's live.maplenoel, MAPLEKNOLL.US, you can probably Google my name too and find that, or get it through the station, but I have that program online, and you can listen to it this past Friday, and I believe that was the 23rd. I think it was the 21st. Yeah, no, not the 21st. It's the 27th, I believe, 28th, 28th of June. And you can listen to that there online. And then from there, I went to the other way that the devil attacks the picture that God has given us by, with the same-sex unions, he is making a mockery of what God has ordained. And again, A church is not married to another church. Church isn't married to Christ in that sense. And, you know, we see that in Genesis chapter 2, that when God created Adam, he then created Eve. And the Bible says that in Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And so he forms Eve, and he presents him. The Bible says that he caused Adam to sleep, took one of his ribs, and jumping in verse 22 here, Genesis 2, verse 22, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man." This is the first marriage in the Bible. God gave the bride away, and God officiated. He did both. And he said, "Well, that can't be possible. When my daughter got married, I gave her away, and then I actually helped with the officiating during the marriage ceremony. So I did a little. I did a little of that. My son-in-law's pastor did the bulk of the ceremony, but it's not unheard of for somebody to give the bride away and then officiate the ceremony. That's what God did here. And the key is there's a man and there's a woman. The woman was created to be a helpmeet for the man. Adam said in verse 23, "This is now a bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." There's a distinction between women and men. Our society likes to say men and women are the same, no difference whatsoever. No, there are differences. There's personality, there's biological, there's physiological differences. There's a variety of differences in the outlook and things of that nature. And let me give you an example. I remember my two nephews, when they were younger, down in Kentucky, were chasing each other around, and the one fell, and he skinned himself up pretty good, his chin and everything, his knees and all. And he was starting to cry, and his older brother thought he was going to get in trouble. Now, his mom and my wife were both over, "Oh, this is so terrible. Are you okay?" And they were, you know, just fussing over him, and he was starting to cry. And I said to him, "Wow, that was cool. You should have seen yourself." And then his older brother started saying the same thing. "Yeah, you flew off that curb like Superman." His chin was quivering a little bit, and the tears started drying up. And he like, "Really? Wow." And then he thought it was cool. And see, my nature was to, you know, encourage him basically to buck up and say, "Wow, look what I did." And my wife and her sister, their nature was to go in and offer sympathy and say, "Oh, are you okay?" And he was okay. Nothing was broken, and he didn't bleed too bad. But but there's a difference between men and women. And God created us with some differences. And he says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so in the husband-wife relationship, we have the potential for procreation, producing children. But even if that potential is not there, there's simple fact here that this is how God ordained it. A man and a woman, a husband and a wife. And that's why same-sex marriages, whatever else you look at, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I do, we have to understand that a same-sex marriage is a mockery and a perversion of what God ordained. God created, as we say, I said Friday, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, or Madam and Eve, however you want to look at it. And this is what we talked about. And not in every case, but oftentimes, in fact, I would say most times, when you see a same-sex relationship, whether it's two men or two women, one partner tends to be more masculine and one partner tends to be more feminine. And I would maintain that if two men are not at all attracted to women, then both of them would be as masculine as possible. One would not be feminine looking or acting or effeminate. And likewise, if two women were only attracted to women, why would one of them be masculine? They would both be as feminine as possible. And I believe, again, that points to the fact that the devil is trying to attack and pervert what God has ordained. So now that's my basis for opposing same-sex marriage. The Bible said that it's or said that God created Adam and Eve. The Bible says that God brought Adam and Eve together as husband and wife. This is what the Bible says, and I accept the Bible as the Word of God. I remember my grandmother used to have a thing in her Bible that said, God said it, I read it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's not really true. God said it, that settles it. That's what's true. Whether I read it or whether I believe it, God said it, that settles it. And unfortunately, a lot of times we don't even read the Bible. When we do, we don't want to believe it. And so we'll look for reasons not to believe it. Now, what I just said about husband and wife and what a marriage is, according to the Bible, that's not politically correct today. And I foresee the day when I will not be able to say that on the radio without fear of retribution, without being accused of a hate crime, especially since Justice Kennedy said that people such as myself that aren't in favor of same-sex marriage, we have an animus towards those things, meaning that we have a hatred and a visceral dislike. No, I have a Bible that speaks against it, and I have a God who teaches against it in His Word, and so I go with the Bible and let God be true and every man a liar, as the Bible says. So I have to go with the Word of God, and we can talk about that a little bit here today on the program, and some other things coming up in the Middle East and all that I want to touch on. But you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can talk a little bit about this, and I believe God's going to judge America as He's judged every nation that's gone down the path that we're going in relation to special rights for homosexuals, and taking a step that I don't know that any nation before us has taken. Even places in Rome and Greece and places like that in the past where they allowed homosexuality, they never recognized it as a marriage on par with that of a husband and a wife. Well, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And we have Grover on the line. And Grover, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hey, Brother Al.
Good evening.
Good evening. I don't have too much time on my prepaid.
Oh, okay.
But at the end, I want you to pray for my sister, Betty. They gave her 2 weeks. She's diabetic. If it don't heal up, and it'd be probably tomorrow, they're going to cut her foot off. I want you to do that when we get off.
All right. We'll pray for your sister, Betty, here in the program.
Yesterday, Ernie Sanders and his group and my assistant pastor at their church and Ken Sundermeyer's, we went down to the gay parade. You talking about if it wasn't disheartened and heartbroken, it would have been funny the way some of these people act. We had a good representative of Christ down there. They said, oh, you hate us. I said, no. I said, this is wrong. I said, we do not hate you. We love your soul just like Jesus Christ. And I want to praise God that I got to witness to 6 young ones. They turned around and they walked away. They accepted Jesus Christ right there. He says, I was very confused. Says, you know what, Pastor Grover? Says, I have never seen anyone that could explain the love that Jesus Christ has, even though we're in that situation sometimes that we cannot control. So they turned around. They didn't even participate in any of the parade. I had 2 young ones. One was about 15, and the other one was about 20. Both of them, the tears just rolling down their eyes. He says, hey. And they said the sinner's prayer. And the woman says, dear Jesus, just bear with me right now. That my family's involved in all of this, but I accept you right now. Just give me just a little patience to straighten my life out.
And
I thought that was wonderful. You know, we give God the praise. We got to show him. Told all of them down there. Said, hey, you're living in something that is contrary to the word of God. And you know what? You're going to hell. I said, in the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian, hey, don't eat no more what potato chips are they? Lays. L-A-Y-S. They are the biggest. And anybody that's got, excuse me.
And we can look at some of these things like you're talking about, and praise the Lord that somebody was able to be reached, you know, there at the thing there in Cleveland this weekend. And, you know, we need to pray for those people. You're absolutely right. And show the love of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was accused of eating and hanging around, you know, sinners, publicans, and things like that. Because remember what he said? He said that those that aren't sick don't have a need for the physician. Right. You know, he came to seek that which was lost. And
that's what he said.
You know, these people need a Savior. And it's a hard ministry to get into, really, to reach. And it can be difficult. It can be challenging. And
I think I'm going to be cut off the minute.
I appreciate your call then, and thank you for your call, and thank you for the testimony about the couple young men trusting Christ as their Savior. Appreciate that.
Pray and for Betty one day.
We will do that. And we're coming up on the break here, and thank you for that.
Her name is Betty Duncan.
Okay, we'll do that then.
All right.
And appreciate that. And we need to pray for our country. You know, I'm reminded of some things that I've read in the past. Joseph Stalin, now some of you will remember that name. Joseph Stalin was the dictator of the Soviet Union. Now, he was there during World War II. We were an uneasy ally with him during World War II to help defeat Nazi Germany, Hitler and the Nazis. But after that, during the Cold War, Joseph Stalin said this. He said, America is like a healthy body. And its resistance is threefold. Now, notice what Stalin said. Its resistance is threefold. It's patriotism, it's morality, and it's spiritual life. If we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. Hey, we see that happening on a daily basis, it seems like. We are undermining those areas there. And we are very much in danger of collapsing from within. How about this ruling that came out? Now, I'll read it, and then I'll tell you who said this. This was said in, here's the quote. Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. This is a Christian nation. That was a quote from the majority opinion, I believe it is, in the United States Supreme Court, 1892, in the case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. The court said that this is a Christian nation, and that our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. How about this Supreme Court ruling in 1844? In Vidal versus Girard's executors, Justice Story said this in the Supreme Court's unanimous opinion. This isn't just the majority opinion, it's the unanimous opinion. Why may not the Bible, and especially the New Testament, be read and taught as a divine revelation in school. Where else can the purest principles of morality be learned so clearly or so perfectly as from the New Testament? Now, I wish some of these people with the, you know, the Americans for the, what is it, ACLU, and some of these other freedom from religion groups and all that, I wish they could sit under some of these Supreme Courts and see what they had to say. How about this? Here's Roger Babson, an economist, said, only religion can prevent democratic rule from developing into mob rule. A nation can prosper only as its citizens are religious, intelligent, capable of service, and eager to render it. We've reached a day today where our citizens are not, they're not religious, and the dropout rates in our schools is so bad that we're developing an unintelligent society, and people are not capable of service and not eager to render it. They want what they can get. They want what handouts they can get, and they're willing to give up their freedom, willing to give up their liberties in order to get goodies. And, of course, it was said, those who steal from private individuals spend their lives in stocks and chains. Those who steal from the public treasury go dressed in gold and purple. That was Marcus Cato, Roman statesman in 190 BC. The Bible said there's no new thing under the sun. We're doing the same thing, folks, that the Roman Empire did, and it collapsed from within. It wasn't destroyed from without. The barbarians may have been at the gates, but they descended into barbarity themselves. Stay tuned for the next half.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join us if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Why don't you give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And, of course, we're brought to you tonight by, of course, Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in North Royalton. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday here at 12 until 5:30 p.m. And you can give them a call, 440-237-4393. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton, and also brought to you, of course, by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza has calzones, strombolis, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. In addition to pizza, East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road across from the high school. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention me or mention Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's a medium one-topping pizza for $5. If you mention me, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, or just Pastor Al, and that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, across from the high school. Pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. And if you're interested in getting the pizza business yourself, talk to Gus at East Coast Pizza, and he can help you get started in your own pizza business as well for a lot less than what you might think. That's 216-341-9100, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And, of course, we get back to our program here this evening. As I said, if you've got a call about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. And as we get back to the phones here, just want to remind us of something. We're talking about what's happening in our country. And our country just seemed to be doing everything it can to turn against biblical morality, turn its back on the nation of Israel, and anything it can to push biblical Christianity out of the public sector, descending into immorality. And here's a good verse I was looking at over the break. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12 says, "For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee," meaning not serve God, "shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted." And that's why the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we live in a day when we have a nation that's turning, as I said, wholesale against God. Well, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We've got Tom on the line waiting. And Tom, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Tom,
welcome.
You know me from Richfield.
Right.
How you been?
Good. Good to hear from you tonight.
Good. Yeah, I just tuned into your program here a few minutes ago. I take it from what I gather you must be talking about the Supreme Court decision here, huh?
Talking about that, but we can talk about other things as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of troubled about that, actually. I never would have believed. You know, I'm almost 60 here, and I never would have believed when I was a kid growing up over there in Richfield that I'd live to see this country so upside down. I just can't believe some of the things that are happening, and they're just happening at such a quicker rate, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. It just seems like the other day that we were hearing about the military's attacks on Christians, and then before that, of course, the opening up the military to openly practicing homosexuals, and it goes in line. Here's a guy who is a former director of the World Health Organization, Brock Chisholm, and he said, "To achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotisms, and religious dogmas. And I tell you what, he seems to be pretty well on the course of doing just those things today, don't they?
Sounds like communism to me.
Well, more than just communism, really, if you think about it, because communism is a form of statism. And I know a lot of people talk about communism and socialism, but along with a lot of things, statism, those are parts of statism. Nazism, fascism, those are all parts of statism. Statism is where the state is more important than God, where the state is number one. And where you find statist governments, whether it's Nazi, fascist, communist, socialist, or dictatorship, or even in some monarchies, which can be statist governments as well, you find God pushed aside.
And oh, yeah, state, absolutely.
Yeah, the state becomes God.
Well, you can see that in that's really what was going on in Germany with Hitler.
Oh, yeah, because that's what Nazism, people forget that it was a National Socialist Party. It wasn't.
He tolerated the church as long as the church didn't talk against him.
Oh, yeah, and the churches that went along with Nazism, they weren't molested. At least not right away for the most part.
No.
And that's what happens in statism. See, whether statism, you know, shows itself as Nazism or communism, Bible-believing Christians are going to be singled out as an enemy of the state.
Right, and it's boiling down to, you know, a tyrannical form of government here.
This
is everything that our founders opposed.
Exactly. And you see the same thing. I'll give you another form of statism, Islam and Sharia law and Islamization of states. You look at Egypt and the persecution of the Coptic Christians in Egypt.
Absolutely.
And that's because they're not loyal to the Islamic state, the Ummah. And they are a threat. The state, in a statist form of government, like I said, whether it's communism or Sharia law or fascism or Nazism, when you have a statist government, and the statist government sees people whose ultimate allegiance is not to the state, why the statist government perceives those people as a threat.
Absolutely.
And that's what happened when the Soviets took over Russia. They drove Christianity out. That's what happened when Mao took over China and the Communist Revolution. You know, I've said before at church and on the radio, Hitler killed his thousands, but Stalin killed his tens of thousands. And Mao certainly killed his tens of thousands because some of the big groups of people that they killed, Hitler, Mao, and Stalin, Pol Pot down in the killing fields there in Southeast Asia, and people like that, they killed Christians wholesale.
Well, they have to suppress true Christianity because true Christianity, you know, once experienced in a person, sets their mind free.
Exactly.
That's
what Jesus said.
They don't want that.
He came to give us freedom. He came to set us free, set the captives free.
That's right.
And no, the state demands blind loyalty. And God asks for love and devotion. The state demands that you fear the state in the sense that it will strike you down if you go contrary to it.
Amen.
God chastens those he loves. Go ahead.
Okay, what I see happening, I really believe this is going to open the door to define national marriage for homosexuals down the road.
Oh, absolutely. I'm kind of surprised that it hadn't already.
What's going to happen after that, though, and I want to see what your opinion is. I perceive that's going to open the door to where once it becomes nationalized, they're not going to be satisfied with just that. Then they're going to challenge to be married in churches.
Oh, absolutely. And I foresee the day, if the Lord doesn't come back for us before then, I foresee the day where we will not be allowed to have an open, frank conversation about this issue on the radio.
No, because I agree with you.
Everything that we've been saying here in this program will be called hate speech.
Absolutely.
And we will not be allowed the freedom of speech. Even though it's enshrined in the Constitution in the First Amendment, I see the day when freedom of speech is going to be limited. And, you know, there's a lot of people who would like that because there's people who don't like to hear the truth on one hand. You got the liberals on one hand that don't like the truth to get out. You've got homosexual activists that if you don't agree with them 100%, you're a hater.
Look at look at how many of our mainline churches. I don't care, you know, if you're talking Catholics, if you're talking Protestants, even some evangelical churches. they've been swaying in the direction of embracing this liberal thinking.
Oh, absolutely. And look at the United Church of Christ. I remember reading in the Brecksville paper how this is a few years ago, they got a new pastor. And this isn't hearsay, and this isn't gossip, and this isn't making things up. They advertised in the article in the Brecksville paper that the man had left his wife for a man. And he had been a Lutheran, and the Lutherans wouldn't let him keep preaching, and he found a welcoming home in the United Church of Christ. And
well,
they were quite proud of that.
The church, too, I mean, I've heard on, I'm not going to name them, but a well-known radio station, not this one, on a well-known radio station that's been around for eons, and we've got people on there talking like, oh, you know, we got to treat them with kid gloves and, you know, and love them. And, yeah, that's all well and good. But, you know, Jesus, he drew a line in the sand.
Oh, yeah. And you're right. I mean, yes,
we
do.
You've got to preach the word. And,
yeah.
I mean, if it causes an offense, then it's going to cause an offense to those that are going to stumble. But it's going to cause some people to find salvation. You're not going to get all these people saved.
Well, exactly. And you preach the truth in love. That's absolutely true. And Jesus, of course, loves the sinner, whatever the sin is. That's why he went to the cross. He died for us. He loved us before we loved him.
But forget that there was three crosses on that hill, and there was a choice on either side of Christ.
Right. And only one chose to acknowledge him as Savior,
and I think
Lord.
It's a picture of humanity that those two other men were crucified.
Right.
It's a choice.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is we cannot take away from the gospel message in order to not step on toes.
Oh, and I think the church is guilty today as a whole, and I'm not saying all. I'm not trying to be judgmental. It's only my observations over the years. That we've soft-soaped it, and we're trying to embrace it. When I came to the Lord, okay, I came to the Lord as a sinner, realizing that I was a sinner and that I was lost, and I needed an answer. I needed a solution, and
right.
Christ provided that solution, but I had to do something about it. I had to repent of that sin, hate that sin in my heart, and turn in faith to him.
Exactly. And let me point out that when you repented of that sin, you had to say it was sin. It
Absolutely.
Wasn't right. And a lot of people don't want to do that.
We all do err.
Over the years, I've had people that have called this radio program not looking for answers, but looking for a reason to justify their rejection of Christ, their rejection of the gospel. And
you
so
you can't be set free of an illness unless you know what the illness is and you identify it.
Right, right, exactly. And see, our problem in America is we've turned away from the Bible. We've turned away from the Word of God. In the early 60s, remember, the Bible was thrown out of the public schools. And
well,
and
there is a loss of the preaching of the Word of God today. I remember listening to preachers like J. Vernon McGee years ago.
And they
presented the gospel, and they told you the truth.
They said, thus saith the Lord.
I'll tell you, I have turned off literally almost 90% of the preachers out there today because I'm so tired of listening to prosperity preaching and everything else, and they're not talking about sin, death, and hell.
Well, I'll let you in on a secret. I don't listen to much Christian radio because
I get more frustrated sometimes listening
to Christian radio than secular talk radio.
Well,
I'll tell you what,
I challenged a radio station 15 years ago, the manager there, and I'm not going to say who, because I do not care for the the music that they're playing today. A lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like the old Christian music because it was based on some real solid scripture.
Well, there should be some meat to the music. It's nice to have fun music and things like that, but you know, music should carry a message with it too. And let me just remind people real quick, our phone number 888-677-9673.
I'm gonna go ahead and get off because
I appreciate
the calls.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see if you agreed with me, because that's my fear, is that I see that the challenge will be that, you know, that they want to silence the church through this.
Uh-huh. But here's what happened. They've been able to do this because the church has really turned in many cases away from the Bible and away from God itself, and the church has welcomed and compromised, welcomed sin into the church itself.
Don't you think that all the church today, I mean, except for the true body of believers, okay, that are saved, the church in general in America, mm-hmm. all these denominations, it's all going to come together to form a one-world church in the end? Because
absolutely. The Bible talks about that in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation.
The devil is actually going to try to, my understanding of Scripture is the devil's going to try to emulate God in three persons, and
he has the
false prophet, which is going to head up the false church.
Well, we see that. We see the unholy Trinity,
Antichrist,
the false prophet, and then the devil himself.
Right. It's his desire to be as God.
Yeah, exactly. And the term Antichrist doesn't merely mean against Christ. It really means in place of Christ.
Yeah, well, I can say a hearty thank God that we know the truth. And
amen to that.
It's free in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah, I appreciate the call tonight, Tom. Appreciate that.
God bless. Always a pleasure. There's very few voices on the air, and anybody out there listening, you're hearing the truth tonight.
Well, I appreciate that endorsement there, Tom. Thank you very much.
And good night.
And have a great week. And enjoy the 4th of July. That's coming up. I mean, we got liberties that God gave us, and our forefathers died to give to us. And Abraham Lincoln said, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. And, you know, when the church started bowing out of the political arena, and when the church started compromising with the world, hey, it's no wonder that eventually, you know, the world stopped ignoring the church. And it's no wonder that our government is drifting in the direction that it is. It's no wonder that the courts are making the rulings that they are. And one of these days, when as a pastor, I'm told that I have to officiate at a same-sex union and call it a marriage, otherwise I'll be guilty of discrimination or guilty of homophobia or something like that. Hey, those days are coming because God's people laid down. We need to get involved. We need revival in America. We need to turn back, just like a 100 years or more ago when the fundamentalist movement started because of corruption within churches and rejection of God's truth. Study history. Get a great book called America in Crimson. Google it online. Go to Amazon, something like that, America in Crimson. I think the guy's name's David Beller, I think, that wrote it. And read what's happened in our country at various times in the past, in the 1700s and in the early 1800s and in the late 1800s, where America was morally drifting away from God, and God raised up voices that brought America back to the Bible, and God began moving again. And read, especially if you can get that America in Crimson, it's an easy book to read, and read that section on the late 1800s when churches were whole-scale throwing away the Bible and endorsing things of the world, and denying the truths, the fundamental truths of the Bible, denying even that Jesus Christ is God. And look what God did and raised up voices during that time. And we need to pray that God will raise up voices today that'll say, thus saith the Lord. And it may be that he comes back for us before that happens. But if he tarries, we need those voices. Well, we've got David calling in. I think we got about 5 minutes. We can get David on the line here. And David, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
First of all, I just want to say God bless all y'all.
Well, thank you.
And I'm listening in about the gang thing, and I just want to say this: the King James Bible is the word.
Amen.
He said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God." And when you do study, he'll show you some things that because you seek it deep with your heart.
Right.
So, and he brought our forefathers up from slavery. And in the Leviticus, he was talking to them, but also he talking to us because we them are ancestors.
Right.
And he say in Leviticus 20:13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination.
Right. He calls it an abomination, just exactly what you said. And that's the word of God.
The word of God, I know from experience.
And you know, you brought up a very good point there, David, because as I was saying earlier, we want to be politically correct. We like to be liked and we hate to be hated. And we want to avoid those things. But, you know, it's there. It's in the Bible. And we have a choice. We can either believe it or not believe it. We can accept it or reject it. And, you're absolutely right to bring that up. All right. Well, I appreciate that, David. Appreciate the call tonight. And, that's in the New Testament as well. The Bible talks about these things. He talks about in Romans chapter 1, of course, is one of the big ones where he says, for this cause in Romans 1:26, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the women burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. And of course, unseemly means indecent or improper. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And it talks about that. God condemns that. And you know, we got just a few minutes left in the program, and I wanted to mention, too, also this evening, it's not going to stop with same-sex unions, because now that the court has said that the Federal Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional, I foresee a floodgate opening. I think the next ones that are going to try is those calling for polygamy, because after all, if consenting adults love one another, how can you restrict it to just one man and one woman, or two men, or two women? How come you can't say one man and three women? Yeah, I mean, how come you can't say that? What basis, when you've thrown the Bible out? You know, they're playing baseball games right now, and if somebody throws the rule book out and somebody says, it doesn't matter whether you hit me with the ball or not, I'm not out. If you've thrown the rule book out, on what basis do you have to say that they're out? You got to have a standard. You have to have a rule book, and the Bible is our standard. It's our rule book, and when you throw the rule book out, you have no basis for limiting marriage to two people. It can be one man and a dozen women. Now, how about incest? That sounds terrible, but you can bet there's people out there. How can you say that an adult man and his adult sister can't get married if they're consenting adults and they love one another? Oh, that'll never happen. I remember in 1970s when they said, oh, having abortion on demand will never lead to infanticide. Well, and it's happening today. Look at that case in Philadelphia with that wicked doctor that was found guilty. Well, we're running out of time here tonight. I want to thank you for listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Wish I could say that America's getting better tonight. Unfortunately, I just can't comfortably say that. But I can say this. God is still on the throne. God still listens to prayer. And God will still answer your prayer. Pray for America. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, do so before it's too late. God bless. Happy 4th of July.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night